and welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Brady Fitzgerald, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Hagan.
How you guys doing?
Fired up, Chris. I'm excited. It seems like the playoffs have finally started. It seems like my basketball season has finally started. It's time to care. It's time to care. It's time to strap in the boots. And we'll get to the Celtics. I'll have a whole rant there. We have two game sevens.
A rant Sunday. Already there.
Oh yeah. It's a rare rant defending the Boston Celtics. I'm excited for it.
Defending from who? We'll get to it.
But there's two game sevens we need to talk about first, and that's what we're gonna do. The Timberwolves. Actually, no. We'll start with the earlier game, the Pacers, Indiana Pacers, at the New York Knicks. The Knicks clawed their whole way throughout the whole season, clawed their way past the Philadelphia 76ers, and finally the clock struck midnight. They all turned into pumpkins, and it was a beatdown from the jump, pretty much.
In their defense, it's hard to win a game when the team has the best shooting percentage ever in a playoff game.
Yes.
That does make it pretty tough to win, but yes, they got basically two good performances. DiVincenzo had close to a 40 bomb, and then Burks was good off the bench, and that was about it.
Yeah, Brunson, you know, he breaks his hand at the end in the third quarter. The Pacers can't miss a shot. The defense was never able to establish itself. They finishing the game, the Pacers, that being, shooting 67% field goal. They ended the first half with 75% field goal percentage, being the highest in 25 years in the playoffs and the highest in the game seven ever. Not a recipe to win here. So tough for the Knicks.
Is that how you want to go out as a fan? Because like I was thinking about that. Because at first I was like, this is the worst possible scenario where like a team just has a historic game and there's nothing you can do about it. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, there's nothing you could do about it, then that might be the best way to go out. But I don't know. It's loser talk for sure to like debate.
Yes.
Best way to lose is.
It's definitely loser talk, but I'm for these types of loser talks where it's like, what hurts the least, basically?
Yeah, right. Well, and the reason I ask is because it feels like the reaction of Knicks fans, at least from the stuff that I've listened to, is they're like, whatever, we were hurt, and they just shot the lights out in that game. We'll be back next year, which is not what I was expecting at all. I was really excited to listen to stuff because I thought it was just going to be full on meltdown, and it wasn't. I was really disappointed. Maybe it's because the Rangers are still alive, but I was like, damn, this is so. They're like, the tone of the one podcast I listened to, I was like, they're like, this episode is brought to you by so and so, and they're just like, the Knicks didn't have it last night. I'm like, that's what you got.
That's
like,
the story. That's the headline here.
I thought there would be screaming, but yeah, they were just like, blame it on the injuries and good shooting and move on. Like, no, they lost game seven at home.
I think you have you have the best excuses. You have the best excuses.
I think the Knicks,
which is kind of frustrating. Like you could just, all right, fine.
It's so frustrating.
You're right, Knicks. You're the only team that gets injured and the only team that can't defend a shot. Like what? So because you guys can't defend a shot, it should count because it's a historic night.
Well, and the other thing is like about the injuries. I'm not saying that like they didn't get unlucky, but we've been talking about these Thibodeau teams when you play six guys for 48 minutes every night. Like, shocking. Their bodies don't hold up throughout a whole series. And obviously, like, the hand thing is, that's not because of fatigue. But the other stuff, like, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be partly to blame, right?
And
it's not like it's the first time we've done this with Thibodeau.
Also, it's not like it's the first time we've done this with this team. After every game, we talked about how they were injured. I mean, they were impressive when they were winning games that they felt like they shouldn't because they were undermanned. But the clock, I think, basically the water ran out of the well, and the Knicks just didn't really care. They're like, all right, there's a leak in the well. It's like, yeah, there's been a leak. Instead of fixing the leak, you've just let all the water go out.
See how big the leak is.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's there's not much, like, if you're a Knicks fan, like, what do you get angry about, you know? You get angry that, like, I mean, your best player got injured in the third quarter, and all of your other players were injured.
Yeah, before. That game was already done.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not coming back. People can say that. Oh, maybe they would have come back if Brunson was still in. No. He didn't even play well up until that point. But yeah, no, you're right. And it's like, as a New York hater, it was really disheartening.
That they weren't
not
moaning.
Really, like, soak it in. Because, like, when the Mets lost in the playoffs a few years ago, there were no excuses at all. And mm-hmm. It was hilarious. It was a shame. But they're, like, I guess you're right. Do we expect them to go to the playoffs next year and be perfectly healthy?
I mean, no. No. You can't.
Josh Hart's at 4 minutes in the whole playoffs, and then he gets hurt. It's like, oh, I wonder if he had, like, a couple minutes of rest. I'm not saying it definitely prevents an injury, but...
Clearly, they need some... They can't they get... What I understand, like, I know Thibodeau likes his guys. You know, he likes the certain type of player to get in these games. Why can't they just get 9 of them? Can't they get 8 of those guys? Like, Thibodeau's been the coach for, like, 4 years now. Can't they get 8 of those guys, 9 of those guys?
I will never understand this about playoff basketball. And you see with the Nuggets, too. And it's like, what were they doing all season?
Yeah.
They just have, like, 6 guys that they can play. I don't understand it at all.
If you're the GM, like, you got to go up to Thibodeau and be like, what 9 guys can we give you that you'll play?
That you'll actually play in the playoffs.
That we can, and we'll have 5 others that you can use during the regular season as, like, your pawns. But we need 9 guys on the roster that you want, you, the coach, want in the game. Just find us those 9 guys so we don't have to play Brunson 48 minutes a game.
I mean, like, I get it to a degree because the margin for error becomes so slim where, like, if you have 2 Bozos out there for 5-10 minutes even, like...
Yeah, boom, it could ruin a game.
15 points.
Yeah.
And the playoffs, you can't afford to have that happen. But it's also a 7-game series.
Yeah.
Like, you could at least toy around with it. Or, like, early in the playoffs... And I know the Sixers wasn't a kind matchup to them as a 2-seed, but still, like... You think, oh, maybe game 3 in Philly, like, Brunson only plays 40 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think it was tough. It was tough luck that they got, like, the OG Anunoby, you know, playing for 5 minutes. That's tough. It's tough that he was even out there.
It was like Willis Reed.
Yeah, it's just like, damn, he's like, the fact that he was out there, everyone was excited for a second again. You know, Brunson going out in the third quarter. Sucks, but they knew what they were getting into when this game 7 started, and they just weren't ready. They didn't come out ready. They all looked gassed, and you're right, there's got to be something to it. I mean, like, Hartenstein, we talked about how great he played, even though he didn't score a ton of points last game, but this game he just gets 0. Gets a bunch of rebounds, but 0. I don't know. There had to have been something you could have possibly done. But if you're a Knicks fan, I guess there's no point in dwelling on it. And just, you know, we didn't have 5 guys, so we'll get them next year.
Yeah. It's just the fact that they were so obnoxious this whole time, and then, like...
Oh, that's how they play it.
Just be like, oh, well, we still had fun.
Yeah, it's that's
like,
how they play it.
You know, you can't be, like, chanting Knicks in 5 in Philly, and then when you lose, you're just like, oh, we'll get them next year.
Or when they beat the Pacers, and they're going, we want Boston, and they haven't even finished off the Pacers yet. No, they don't get any repercussions for that. They're too big of a fan base, I think. There's too many famous people that can just defend them. I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
But it was...
Deep down inside, they know.
It was great to see them all. It was, like, you know, a quarter left, and they're all leaving. Leaving the stands.
Yeah.
That game was terrible. Yeah. Turned it off. It was awful.
It was horrible. Yeah.
All right. A great game. I said it at the time. It was actually kind of a bad game.
Oh, it was a horrible game.
It was a terrible game. So we're talking about Minnesota-Denver, of course. It was a tale of 2 halves. One half, Minnesota can't hit the side of a barn. And then the other half, they switched the barn positioning, and then the Nuggets couldn't hit anything, any side of the barn. It was a very sloppy game that, and I know everyone was raving about it. Like, it was a 30-point comeback. It was like, I get that. But it was so sloppy, and at the end, it was like a freaking football game. Every 2 seconds, some guy is falling on the ground, and the whistle's blowing.
I mean, it felt like the Nuggets had a string of possessions there at the end where it was just like the ball would just fall out of someone's hands.
Yeah, it would fall, and like there'd be five people on the ground between both teams. It'd be like, all right, rugby match. It was frustrating to watch. But from a basketball dramatic side, how'd you put it? I forget how you texted me. It was like from an entertainment side, it was good.
It's good entertainment. Yeah. Horrible basketball, but yes, it was good entertainment.
So,
although the most entertaining player on the floor was not very good.
No, he wasn't entertaining.
I love how he's still allowed to talk shit even when he sucks. Like, he's waving goodbye. And, like, he's earned it. I'm not saying he hasn't. But he was, like, 6 of 30 from the floor or something ridiculous like that. He's not the reason why they won that game.
No, so Anthony Edwards ends up 16, 7, and 8. Rudy Gobert, 13, 9. Karl-Anthony Towns with 23, 5 stupid fouls, though. And Jaden McDaniels with 23, too. It was a team win by Minnesota. Literally six guys got in double digits. And it was weird. It was the most efficient team that we've seen in the past 3 years, where it's like the last 5 minutes, if anyone knows what to do, it's the Nuggets. And the second half, they didn't know what to do. It's like the whole second half, they didn't know what to do.
It was stunning the way that they just imploded.
They put Anthony Towns on straight on Rudy Go or not sorry not on Rudy Gobert straight on Nikola Jokic this time around, and had Rudy spy off Aaron Gordon. And I think the difference was that Aaron Gordon was terrible, absolutely terrible. Every time Jokic even got him the ball, it's not like he could get a shot up, and Rudy was able to. That was the best way we could have seen Rudy. Where he wasn't one on one with Jokic. Every time he was one on one with Jokic, he was getting torched.
I will apologize to Rudy Gobert because I really gave him the business our last episode, and especially down the stretch, he played pretty well.
Dude, the surprising part was the offensive fourth quarter by Rudy Gobert. That was the shock.
Oh, and the one shot that he hit was just
the poster shot. That's circus shot. Yeah, it was a poster shot. He does like an MJ fade off Jokic and has one knee in the air.
When that goes in as a Nuggets fan, you're probably like, well.
Oh, it was over. It was done. No, it was done.
And there was still time left.
Yeah, there was like 3 minutes left. And I looked at my dad
like
and I was
like. Wasn't
like
a dagger or anything. But just like, wow. If that's going in, then destiny, fate is on their side.
Yeah, I mean.
But then, like you were saying, like the Nuggets are a team that you expect to just know what to do in their situations. And even when they got down in that game, I was still like, I mean, they still have Jokic. Yeah. Like,
and Murray.
They need a bucket. He can find a way to get a bucket in any way. And then, like, the ball must have had butter on it. Like, it would go into the post and it would just disappear.
Yeah, it would like, just fall out of bounds.
Steal on Murray. Like, it looked like a 2K steal.
The Murray.
It was so hard to believe.
The craziest part was Murray between the first half and the second half. 24 points in the first half.
Yeah.
And then 11 to carry it out throughout the rest of the way. Disappeared at the end of the game.
Well, and
Jokic didn't even pass to him.
The craziest part is, like, it wasn't even as soon as halftime or as soon as the third quarter started. They went up by more after halftime. Because they were up 15 at halftime, I think. And the max was 20. So it's like they came out quick. And then I don't know what happened.
The Jokic, you saw this is the first time I've ever seen in real time real desperation out of Jokic. I mean, he shot 10 threes. He never shoots 10 threes. He only made two of them, which didn't help. I guess the only other time in this playoffs he got close to shooting 10 was the game one loss against the Timberwolves where he shot 9. Similar game to that, honestly. A lot of points, very inefficient, not used to almost 20 rebounds. It was an uncharacteristic Jokic game where he lost that one sense of that I'm in control. And once that was lost, it was just a steamroll after that. They kept, as you said, it was a bunch of 2K steals from him. The ball was just flying all over the court. All of a sudden, Minnesota ends up with it. I just had no idea Mike Conley was this important.
Yeah, and we kind of did allude to that the other night.
Well, so did Anthony Edwards. When they said, why'd they lose the last game? Yeah. They were like, ah, we don't have Mike Conley. And that was a little bit of a joke, but also a little bit of being right. Yeah. Where, I mean, he had eight. They also got outboarded. They totally outboarded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rudy and Towns were machines.
Impressive game. Besides Towns' terrible fouls, man cannot stop getting fouls. That's the only issue he had. No, he'll never. He can't. Literally can't.
Well, like, you look up and there's 4 minutes left in the game and he's not in. You're like, what the hell are they doing? Like, put him in the game. It's game seven. Like,
yeah, I know.
I don't care which minutes he plays. I want to. Yeah, he's got to play the rest of the game, like as many minutes as possible. But they just show him on the bench and just like laugh. It's funny.
I know. It's stop playing. Gotta stop fouling out there. But no one showed up for the Nuggets. It was Jokic, it was Murray, and it was lit. Not
yeah, that and that's what it boils down to, I think.
Game seven, like, at home, you gotta have the role players active.
You have this perfectly run offense. It's a well-oiled machine. It's like the most efficient team that we've ever seen. Yada yada yada. And then the guys that you need to be the supporting cast are like complete no-shows. Like, yeah. Michael Porter had a bad series altogether.
Terrible
this
series.
This was, like, the crown jewel of just suckage.
All the Lakers fans are all mad that that the Nuggets, all their role players. Yeah, it's like, all these guys go off against the Lakers. It's like, maybe because the Lakers probably play no defense. But that it does.
I was going to say, like, Timberwolves have the best defense in the league.
It does add an interesting point that I've listened to on a couple podcasts since Sunday, where maybe they do something with Michael Porter Jr. here, try to flip him for something else, because he's a big contract. I don't think they should. You know, hot take: they won the finals last year. They should probably stick as much to the core. Like, there's definitely room for upgrades. You can upgrade the KCP. I like KCP, but you can upgrade that spot.
Starting five is fine. I think they need other guys that they can bring off the bench in these. Like, last year, you had Bruce Brown and Jeff Green, who played a lot of minutes for you.
Mm-hmm. And important minutes.
They have Christian Brown. That's it.
Yeah, they have Reggie Jackson.
Throw out Justin Holliday and Reggie Jackson, and they do nothing. Like, look at their, stat sheet.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're nothing but cardio.
They're ghosts.
Yeah, nothing but cardio. Yeah, I agree. I would retool the bench, try to get some veterans. It's funny that they win the chip and they couldn't get one washed up name to join them. Like, I know you want the washed up name guys, but like, I don't know.
I read an interesting article on The Ringer. I forget who wrote it, but it was basically saying how the GM of the Nuggets cared more about developing the young guys that they do have so that they can continue to compete for championships rather than like try to keep.
So they try to do like the Warriors where it's like, we have the two
right,
arrows.
I guess
deal.
So. Yeah. But also, when you just win the finals, like, I don't understand why. Like, Jokic and Murray and MPJ, they're in their prime right now.
They can develop while winning the finals.
And who cares if you develop?
Yeah.
Like, if you win the finals again, like, two rings is worth everything. So I don't know. It seemed like there was, based on what the article was saying, it seemed like there was some disconnect between what was happening with the coaching staff and what was happening up top. So it'll be interesting this offseason what they do, because they clearly need other guys that they can trust off the bench.
Yeah, you definitely, like, it's funny. It's almost like all these contending teams should have, they need like a 10 minutes per game, like, really washed vet. And it should be like a league requirement.
Yeah.
Where it's like the start of the playoffs.
It's like
happens.
Jeff Green.
Yeah, it's like
right. That Jeff Green had no business playing on the finals roster last year, but he did.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's stuck on the Rockets because he won the finals and got paid for the Rockets. But no, they need to have like a group of diagnosed guys where it's like, I guess what, there's 16 playoff teams. So right when the playoffs start, each one of them, they get like, it's like John Wall. We'll get Westbrook on there. Isaiah Thomas. Gordon Hayward. Like, I'm talking all, like, the 2016 All-Stars. We'll get them all back, and you have to play them 10 minutes a game. Good luck. That should be a rule we implement here. I just want to see random vets on playoff rosters.
I like what the Mavs do, where they just have, like, four different guards, and they just try them each for, like, a couple minutes, and then if they hit a shot, they're like, oh, you get to stay in this game.
Yeah.
If they're cold, like, all right, yeah, I saw the next.
It's funny. It's like a rec team, where it's like, all right, we'll play everyone on the bench. A couple guys hit some shots. Right. You guys stay.
But our best five are going to be in.
Yeah.
And it works. Well, it's worked this far, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Do you want to talk preview Western Conference, or do you want me to take some reins here on the Celtics?
Let's stick on the West for now, since we've already kind of started that, and then you can finish things up. I will say, we didn't talk about Game 6 of the Mavs at all. That was such a bummer, the way that ended.
Oh, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. You're right.
That was Saturday.
Yeah, that was Saturday. You're right. That was a total bummer.
Foul in the corner.
Yeah. So, it was funny
if they didn't call a foul, it was the putback, it would have been balls.
It was funny that it was Shea, though. It's Shea's team that, like, the guy's been doing the foul. Everyone was complaining about, he was like Joel Embiid this year, where everyone was complaining about his fouls all year. So it was pretty funny that he ends his season on a foul.
Yeah.
That was one of the best games of the playoffs, actually.
That was an incredible game.
Another Derrick Jones Jr. game. That's my guy. That is my guy.
I remember it in, like, the first game of the series, or maybe it was the last series, Wyatt took his over points at, like, 3.5.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how low it was.
Yeah.
He's just come out of nowhere.
A week ago, it was about, like, 7.5. So he's really turned it up. I had it in a parlay, but the parlay didn't hit. But I had slow-mo 1 point in game 7, and he had it. He hit it. It's hilarious. Mavs, Timberwolves. I'm really torn, honestly. Everyone's picking the Timberwolves, and I kind of think the Mavs can do it.
I don't like that.
I know
so,
you've been on the Mavs this whole time.
I have the Mavs. I have, yeah, and I have them to win the finals. I don't love this matchup.
You don't?
Because I just feel like the Timberwolves defensively match up really well, because you have two centers that don't space the floor. And on the other side, you have Rudy Gobert, who, like, that's his dream. It's like, oh, I don't have to stretch out and cover the corner anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Those two lob guys, like, Gobert can defend that. Like, that's his thing.
That's a good point. Do you think some PJ Washington at the five might have to be necessary?
It's possible. But, like, the problem is Lively has been one of their best, like, plus-minus guys.
Yeah,
we like true. We look at the so box scores every time we do this, and but Lively is like you wouldn't even believe every game he's out there for like 20 some minutes, and it's plus minus like plus 15 or plus 20. It doesn't even make sense. No one's close. But I feel like that can be neutralized. You can play small, and like Luka is the guy that can expose that. It'll be very interesting, because then I don't know what you do on the other side of the ball.
I don't know what to think here. I really, this is really a toss up for me, because
the odds.
I bet it's heavily in Minnesota. I would be shocked if it wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, that's my assumption.
They're favorite, I'm sure. I would guess like minus 160. They have home court, right?
Yeah, they have home court.
They're minus 4 in game 1.
All right. Well, while you're trying to find that, I think
minus 170. Damn, so close.
Man,
you know what the Celtics are?
What is that? Minus? I'm gonna guess 340.
I'd be close. Minus 900.
Jesus Christ. The Mavericks here, they need, if they want to win this series, they need Kyrie Irving scoring. They need him scoring.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, he's had some good games. He He had a good game in the closeout game in game six. Undefeated in closeout games, by the way.
Harvey is?
Yeah. Did you not see that all over the place on Saturday? Yeah. But what was I going
to
say?
Got to get to a closeout game in this series, though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He needs to shoot the ball more efficiently. That's what I'm trying to get here. He needs to shoot the ball more efficiently. He needs to score the points, score some more points, and help out Luka passing the ball here. The Timberwolves defense is going to be no joke. But that being said, part of me kind of likes Luka in this matchup, even though it is against Jaden McDaniels. I feel like Jaden McDaniels is more about length than he is about strength. You like that one?
Mm.
Like that bar right there?
Booty ball? Is it booty ball?
Yeah, yeah. This is going to be heavy Luka, you know, jab into the guy, get the foul, go up to do the Euro step. You got to dive. Like, he's going to dive into every one of these guys. And I think it's actually going to help him out a lot. Like, who does Cat guard? Is he guarding Derrick Jones Jr., PJ? I guess PJ Washington, right? Guarding Washington?
I would assume.
And then Gobert is on...
Is it George Washington?
No, I said PJ. Rudy's on Gafford. Who's guarding Luka? It's got to be one of McDaniels or...
McDaniels.
Yeah, it's probably
then McDaniels. Ant on Kyrie, right?
Yeah, Ant on Kyrie. And then, well, who's that? Who's their last starting five guy? Am I tripping here?
Wait, Conley. No.
No. It's going to... Ant said that he's going to guard Kyrie. So you're going to have Conley.
Oh, yeah, that's not that. Got it.
Yeah. So Conley's going to have to go on Luka or like Jaden Hardy. What's his name? Derrick Jones Jr. So yeah. there's a way to expose this matchup, and it's on Mike Conley.
Yeah.
And I just I don't know. I think there's something about Luka, man, that scares me. He finally made it back. I know.
There is that factor.
He's here. He's arrived. He had a triple-double in his closeout game. He's looking the healthiest he's looked in the playoffs so far. And on the other side, I guess we're playing the recency bias here, where Anthony Edwards is on the other side. He's the man. He's literally the love child of the NBA right now. And, you know, he could go off for 40 any night. He didn't get it in the game seven. But, of course, since he's Anthony Edwards, no one's going to bash him. But huge, if we have a good Kyrie game one, I'm gonna have some real confidence that they can beat the Timberwolves. Even if they don't win, just a good Kyrie game, get him some points, get him looking open. He keeps taking the first half of games off. He's like, eh,
yeah,
don't have to worry about the first half. But anyways, let's keep going. We'll go to the Celtics now. I think we got enough there.
Not it.
All right.
You want to make a pick?
Yeah, I'll pick. I'm gonna take a spicy pick and go Mavs in six, not seven, but six. You already have the Mavs, so like you don't feel bad about.
I can't back out.
Yeah, you can't back
out. I'll do Mavs in seven.
All right. I know we're talking like we're giving no faith in the Timberwolves. Listen anywhere else.
No, I was,
you will find
I
anyone.
I was coming into this podcast and I don't like having a Mavs ticket. I'm not excited about the matchup at all.
No, I would be nervous.
I wouldn't have rather seen the Nuggets, but like I don't. The center thing bothers me.
Yes, because it's like it seems like the best part of their playoffs so far can play right
Rudy's
into
trap. Feels like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. It's definitely more even than this other series that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it is definitely more even than that. And yeah, I want to give some credit to the Timberwolves here. Like, I do, there's a 90% chance that they win. Like, there's a huge percent chance that they win this. They have the matchup. They're the one on fire right now. I know the Mavs did win in the closeout game, but they defeated the champs, all that shit. But I don't know. Something about this Mavs team. We've been on them almost the whole time. I remember when we did rankings halfway through the season, you were like, this Mavs team.
They're like six.
Kyrie and Luka.
I think I'd rather have Luka than Edwards.
Yes, and I'd rather have Kyrie than the second guy for the Timberwolves. I'd rather have those two guys. Actually, well, the list goes Luka, Ant, and then Kyrie. But I would have those two guys before we get to Anthony Towns or Rudy. People forget Kyrie is he could turn up. He hasn't done it yet. I keep saying it on these pods, but he could do it.
I know it's coming.
It's gonna be against my goddamn Celtics. That's what it's gonna be.
Are things gonna be tense if that's the finals? I won't. I don't have much money on it, so I won't be.
Well, that's okay. No, that's okay.
The difference in fandom.
It is. That's the most story-filled finals, by the way, for sure.
Oh yeah,
Kyrie going back to Dallas or going back to Boston. Luka's always being compared to Tatum, and shit, I feel like there's one other good one. That's why it's a good matchup.
They never played, did they? Dirk.
No.
Dirk only went to one, I think.
There's one other reason. I don't remember why, but there was another reason why it was a really, really good matchup. But the storylines galore would be great. Let's move on. Let's go to my Boston Celtics. I'm tired of the hate.
Yes, I've been prepared.
Yes, I'm tired of the hate. Easiest path to the conference finals. They're going to have the easiest path to the finals. You know, if only we had 82 games to determine the path to the finals. Right? The Boston Celtics won 63 games. 63! They earned this easy path to the final. And it's not their fault that Jimmy Butler got injured in the play-in game. It's not their fault that Mitchell got injured in the playoffs. Or Jared Allen in the playoffs. Like, these injuries happened in the playoffs. Like, it's not like we're walking in with these... I mean, even when they were fully healthy, we were favored by 100. This is crap. I'm tired of all this bullshit. Because we're a good team, now it's an easy path.
Well, I mean, two things can be true. But it's not, like, it's not a knock on the Celtics. Like, there's two things are completely different. They're not related at all. Like, yes, the Celtics won 63 games, and they are the best team in the league by a significant margin.
So they get the easiest path in
the finals. Right, but there's also, like, there's no other real contenders in the East.
Yeah, because Giannis and the Bucks couldn't stay healthy. The Knicks couldn't stay healthy. The Heat, you know, Jimmy Butler, we would have sent them home. Yeah, but you couldn't stay on the court. It's just bothersome. And the Jason Tatum slander is starting to get to me. I haven't been a huge
slander in every episode.
I was going to say, I'm not like the biggest Jason Tatum guy either. Like I have his jersey, you know, he's the face of the Celtics right now.
It did say that he had the potential to be the best player of all time.
I did. And I said the potential, and the potential, the way I phrased it is still, I still will back that up. actually probably not anymore. He's a little too old now, but. Here's what I want. So everyone's, he's got a super team. He's got a super team. Without a super team.
It's not really a super team.
No, thank you. It's not a super team. I gotta say,
just because a team is really good doesn't make them a super team.
Not according to the internet. Not according to the internet. they're a freaking super team. So he has 49 playoff games with 25 plus points. He has 26 49? 30 plus. Yes, he has 26 30 plus point playoff games. And he's played, the most shocking part. He played in 107 playoff games so far in his career.
That's so really hard to believe.
Right? That's insane. So yeah. Also, just to throw it in there, a 50 point game in the only play-in game that he ever played in.
Which was when?
2020 to 2021. This was the year that they didn't have a super team because everyone was injured. There was no Jaylen Brown. There was no Kemba Walker. Al Horford was on OKC at this point. There was Tristan Thompson on this team. Romeo Langford started a playoff game.
Romeo Langford.
I think Nesmith was there. I think he was playing in the game. But in that playoff run, it only lasted 5 games, but Tatum averaged 30.6 points and dropped 50 against the KD, Kyrie, Harden team. So he could do it without a super team. Like, people are saying, like, oh, he can't do it on his own. This guy's kind of a bum. I'm just tired of hearing it.
Does it on their own.
No, exactly. Nobody does it on their own. I know that he hasn't had some good playoff moments in the late because of, you know, they're on the grandest stage. He has some piss poor performances and he gets bashed about it. I can understand that. But the fact that like these guys are going and like just saying he's a fraud his whole career. Come on, man. Give the guy a break. Do you just want him to win the finals every year? Or the Celtics? Do you want the Celtics to win
the
finals?
Well, I think they'd like him to win.
They'd like him to win one, yes. Yes. Yeah. I would like him to win one.
Well, it would change everything. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's why. All of this goes away if he wins one ring. At least for a little bit.
I just don't understand why he's so disliked. Is it because he has no personality? Is that why?
Probably. And he went to Duke and...
Duke's, yeah. He
plays for Boston.
Yeah, I guess so. People really hate the Celtics. Like, I think everyone does.
Oh, yeah, people despise the season.
Everyone hates them. We haven't won since 2008.
I mean, I think it might just be a Boston thing.
I think it's also like a historical, like, you know, tied with the Lakers for the most.
Your dad grew up hating the Celtics, so you hate the Celtics.
Yeah, that type of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad hates the Celtics. So.
Sure, he does. But Tatum, I just wanted, like, he had 51 in a game 7, 43 in a game 6 to force a game 7. This guy shows up for big spots, and I'm tired of people acting like he doesn't. Hopefully this doesn't blow him by my face and he has like 8 points by the time you're listening to this in game 1. They lose to the Pacers.
Put all this to the test very soon.
That being said, I'm putting everything to the test. They're going to sweep the Pacers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're here. We're here, baby. It's the Eastern Conference Finals.
No meltdown in game 2.
No meltdown in game 2. This team is the Pacers. I'm giving them zero shot of winning this. They winning this. Plus minus 900 to win the Eastern Conference Finals isn't even large enough. That needs to be like minus 2000. I'm so ready for tonight, and I'm bleeding green. I'm just fired up, Chris. It feels like I finally got basketball back.
I'm happy.
Thank you. Even though I've been watching
it was
basketball.
So boring to talk about the Celtics.
Yeah, I know. It was no fun.
It was just like, yeah, like, Tatum wouldn't shoot so many threes, but they still won by 30.
Yeah. Now we're here.
On. That's it.
Yeah. Now we're here. Yeah, I'm ready for heartbreak. I don't want to lose a single game in this Eastern Conference Finals. and then I'm here to take the championship. And I'm ready to die on the hill of we're the best team. And there's no reason to not win this.
If they lose tonight, we might have to do a podcast.
Emergency pod.
I'll do it on the Metro ride.
We'll do an emergency pod. It'll be like no production. You won't see any of the like on YouTube. You won't see any of the wise guy stuff on the
it's
top.
It's gonna be a recording of the phone call.
Yeah. Me just going, what the f*** are they doing? I can't stand this team. But I'm ready to get heartbroken. I was listening today. People are saying, "Oh, they're going to need Jaylen Brown in this series." No, we're not going to need Jaylen Brown. Hell, we're not even going to need Tatum for half these games. We're just going to need one. We need two players to score 20 points, and we have six players that can do that. I'm in. They're going to be playing. The Pacers are going to be playing a great pace. The Celtics, that should hopefully work in their favor as well. I think the Celtics' defense is better than people are saying. I mean, all defensive teams came out today. Both of our point guards are there. So Tyrese Halliburton, get ready to get strapped up. We're ready for more piss poor performances from you. There's nothing. I'm not scared about one thing on this team. Come on.
You don't think they'll win one game? Hey, one of those games in Indiana they'll win because they'll shoot like 65%.
That's the thing. If they shoot 65%, the Celtics got to shoot 70. This is a team that can shoot 70. Like, this is a team that can match the Pacers' way. The ways that the Pacers win is exactly how the Celtics win. So if they can match what they're doing when they're getting hot, then this is no competition. You're right. You know, I'm gonna say that they're gonna sweep, but there's always a possibility that they can take one of these games, even in Boston or in Indiana. I don't think it matters that much.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's how it's not like. Like, there's a possibility that they lose one game. It's not like the Celtics are definitely going to win this series, but maybe, like, there's a slight possibility. It's like, no, they're going to sweep them, and there's this slight possibility that maybe they win in five.
Yes. I've been mellow the whole season. I haven't been optimistic. I mean, I have been optimistic, but not, like, overly exuberant of my optimism. And now it's here to – I'm here to unleash it. I'm here to ride the Celtics and die on this hill. Let's go. Game one tonight. So that's the analysis. Celtics are going to shoot like, oh, the Pacers shoot a lot of threes. Celtics shoot more, baby. Like there's it really, I'm so ready for this.
I love that. That's a lot better for our shows than you're dealing with.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Cause like, you're right. The Celtics, it would be, the last 4 minutes of our NBA discussion, and just be like, ah, they won by 30, but like, they didn't look that good. And now I don't care if they don't look that good. If they win by 30. Game, like, let's
at least when they lose a game this time, are you going to be mad? Because you weren't even mad the last time.
Yeah, I'll be mad. Okay. I want to sweep.
Is that like a pride thing?
Yeah, I think it's at this point, it's an FU. Like, it's like, I it's like, yeah, sure, we get the easiest path and let's just sweep them. That's what I want, you know?
Yeah, right. This isn't necessarily a similar situation, but I'm kind of dealing with the same thing with the Phillies because their schedule's been easy so far. Good. They're the best. They're the best team in baseball. Yeah, and people are like, good. Oh, well, they've only played one team over 500. And I'm like, yeah, because the teams that are 500 come into Philly and get their asses swept, and then they're under 500. That's why the numbers say that. Like, they have the second best run differential in the league. Like, what do you want them to do? I'm sorry that they're kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah, sorry we're winning. Sorry we're winning. That's
actually no, not.
Yeah, no.
I'll not apologize for winning.
It's so lame. And the other so are you telling me? Like, I don't know. The Pacers are relatively healthy. If the Knicks were fully healthy and this went to seven, is it still a terrible path for the Celtics?
If the Knicks were fully healthy?
Like, if they were healthy, like, but they still the lose. No, they still lose to the Pacers.
They still lose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Whatever. I think even if they played the Knicks, it would be like, yeah.
Also, what I hated too,
You beat the Knicks in five.
Yeah, that one I was
never a doubt.
I was nervous. I was nervous that they'd lose two games against the Knicks.
Yeah, right. That was the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that pisses me off, the Nuggets lose, and all of a sudden it's a Boston conversation. Oh, they better be the NBA champions at this point. Oh, so everyone glazing the Wolves and the Mavs doesn't matter anymore? Is that an easy path too? I thought the West was so hard. Sorry, I'm an old man yelling at the wind right now. I know there's
I mean, they are, like, they will be minus 200 in the finals if they play, at least.
Even if it's the Timberwolves?
I think so.
Not even minus 150?
I don't think, that's what they are to win the whole thing already, I think. Let's see. Pull my app again.
Yeah, once you check this, we'll move on. We'll get to the top app. Five.
Still like 20 seconds for me.
Yeah, I will. I'm just gonna read more Jason Tatum stats that I wrote down earlier.
Is this when you did at work today?
Yeah, this was like 30 minutes of work. It was me on StatMuse just looking up how can I prove that Tatum's a good playoff player?
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
They're minus 150 in the finals.
Yeah, right now. Okay, so you're saying
right now, today.
When they beat the Pacers, let's just put a win there. If it's Minnesota, you think it's still 200?
Probably. Hmm. Well, I don't know what the math is behind, like, factoring in the minus 900 into the, like, hypothetical lines that, like, we could figure it out, but that's...
Yeah, no, that's a lot of math.
I would be, like, 20 minutes plus talking it through and not getting the right answer. They're also plus 350 to win next year.
That's insane.
I might take the Timberwolves at plus 800 to win the finals next year. That just seemed like pretty good
odds. That's pretty good odds. Wait. What's Denver?
700.
There you go. That's the bet.
That's the play.
Bet. Yeah, that's the bet. Denver plus 700 to win it all.
Yeah, and they just sign nobody.
And then it doesn't matter, and they just somehow end up in the finals. No, that's what we were saying this year. That's now over. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about our top five.
Do you have a pick for this year?
Yeah, Pacers in seven. Going bold here. Going bold.
I'll take the Celtics in five.
You let him win one game.
Have mercy.
Yeah, there's no. I'm done with the mercy. I want full ass beatings. All right, let's move on to our top five. Top five for the week is top five of boys. So we were talking about it a couple weeks ago. If you remember our Shohei conversation, where we were talking about his boy, who took the blame. This is how I believe it. This is how the story goes in my world.
Allegedly
took the blame for his Shohei's gambling addiction. So we decided like that deserves its own category. Those are the types of boys we're talking about. A boy that will always have your back. Someone you look over and you go, that is my boy. That's the list. So I have 23.
Please take the first pick.
Yeah, I'll take the first pick. I have 23 suggestions, so I'm gonna have to take a minute figuring out which one I want first.
I haven't ordered mine yet.
No, I'm doing that right now. No, I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, I'm just gonna do it right off the cuff.
I think so. Shohei's boy, I'm taking out the list. So if it's on yours, take him out.
Okay, I threw him on there, but he wasn't going to be in my top
five. All right, I'm taking him out just because
he's the inspiration.
Yeah, he's the inspiration. He can't be on the top five. All right. So many good picks on here. I don't want to make the wrong pick. I think I got to go with Jake the Dog.
Jake the Dog.
Jake the Dog is the boy that I'm picking first. He can transform into anything you want. He's always there for his boy, Finn.
Yep.
And he never leaves his side. He gets a wife and kids. Screw him. I'm with my boy. So he's the definition. He's always down to go on some adventure with you. It's literally adventure time. He's so useful. He could transfer to whatever you want. You could ride him around. He could fly, basically, I think. Like, somewhat fly. He could stretch himself to fly, but yeah, he's a magical dog. It doesn't get more boy than a magical dog.
That's fair. Yeah,
is that a great statement? A is that an all-time statement? Doesn't get more boy than a magical dog.
More boy. I have a couple magical dogs on my list.
You have what?
So there's a couple magical dogs on my list.
Oh boy.
All right, yeah, I like that pick. I didn't have it on my list, but I wasn't the biggest Adventure Time fan in the world, so it wasn't something that popped into my head.
Fair enough.
I liked it.
Thanks. That was literally I didn't know who was going to be number one. He was on the list, saw him sniped. I feel good about it though.
Mine's Dobby from Harry Potter, the elf. That dude is the boy. He shows up to Harry's house, tells him not to go to Hogwarts because he knows that they're after him. He tries to ruin Harry's life so that he's not allowed to go to Hogwarts, which Harry doesn't understand is for his own good. That's just the second movie. And then you find out that Dobby's masters are Harry's enemy, and they treat Dobby horribly, and if they ever found out, which eventually they do, that he was going to see Harry, that he would get beaten if he does. And then at the end of the series, he literally dies for Harry. He jumps in front. He shows up to save them from the Death Eater's house, and then they all operate together, and he takes literally a dagger to the chest and Harry has to bury him. But if Dobby wasn't in it, they would be stuck. There'd be no, there would be no Harry Potter.
It's a great.
Voldemort would win.
That's a great.
He is the boy.
I was thinking. I knew, like, you know, you're a big Potter guy. I was thinking Ron was gonna make his way on this list, but Dobby being number one.
Yeah,
took me off for a loop. Yeah. But I appreciate the explanation. You know, it's been a while since I've seen these movies, read these books. That's a boy right there. It seems like Dobby's always going to have.
Yeah, Ron's a boy, but Dobby's the boy.
What's up with his socks?
Ron's socks or Dobby's socks?
Dobby's socks. Doesn't he like socks? Isn't that his thing? Now, maybe I'm just an idiot. Maybe not. Maybe I could have sworn it was like Dobby and his socks. No? All right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, now I sound. I'm. Yeah, look, Dobby and socks.
Oh, he gives Harry Potter gives him a sock. No, that's right. The sock is what frees him. Harry tricks. Malfoy into giving him the sock. If the monster gives the elf a sock, or not a sock, but like a piece of clothing, then they're free.
Oh.
Harry like tricks him, and that's what it is. Yeah, he's not like obsessed with socks.
Okay, word. That's a good another good explanation of now. Nah, this is what I need.
That'll be a summer episode.
He's a little Stop freak here. Though. He looks a little freaky.
Well, yeah. A house elf.
So he can't have any hair. Dobby can't get any hair. Yeah. You should give him a hat, not a sock. Put that thing on. All right, I don't want to hate on Dobby. This isn't. I like to pick a lot. I like to pick a lot. He is the boy. That was a perfect explanation of it. All right, number two. I got to go with Robert Gronkowski. Thank you. He's like the definition of what would you want in a boy. He's all talk about reliable. Yeah. He's always there in big moments. Even if he's not there the whole time, he'll step up in the big moment. Super Bowl, he's there. He's playing his A game. He's catching a touchdown. He's the perfect sidekick to Tom Brady. Goofy, funny. A little bit destructive. I think that's a good quality to have in a boy. Yes, just a little bit. Not over the top.
Not too much.
Yeah. He's the type of guy where if you go downtown with him, you're gonna have a lot of fun, and you're gonna reach the line. You're at the line when you're hanging out with Robert Gronkowski.
He's not gonna get you thrown into prison or anything.
No, you're not gonna get in a fight.
You might be worried.
You might be what? Sorry.
If you're worried about it.
Yes. No. You're worried the whole night. You're like, this guy's one, like, he somehow all night long since the pregame, he is one beer away from blacking. Somehow. One drink away from blacking. And he survives the whole night. He gets you home safe. That's the other thing. He's like, oh, just stay at Gronk's place. Gronk's place is safe. And all of a sudden there's a party at Gronk's place. It's still going down. I go, man, 4 a.m, Gronk. Like, sorry, man. Here's a guest bedroom across the hall. No noise. Noise canceling. He's got you. He's got you covered. And Gronk does what, like another aspect of the boy. He's an independent boy. You know, he was always with Tom, but he has his own little personality. He has his own. Doesn't have to be attached to Tom, which in his career that's what he wanted. Another boy move. He would rather retire than play for the Lions. Great boy move. Yep.
And he followed Tom to Tampa.
Yeah, Tom is his quarterback. He said that multiple times. Another great boy move. All right.
That's a great pick.
Thank you.
I didn't have him on my list, but he is like the definition of.
Yeah, he's like a golden retriever as a human.
That's the other thing is like he's also just a boy. Like literally.
Yeah, yeah.
He acts like
a boy. Yeah, he's a man boy. A man boy.
This is tough.
Picking these are so hard.
I'm gonna go with Ferb.
Ferb's a boy.
Ever reliable sidekick.
Yeah, Ferb's a boy. Doesn't
have to say anything.
No.
No. Just always there, knows exactly what Phineas is thinking all the time. Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah,
Ferb doesn't have to be in the limelight.
No.
It's Phineas and Ferb, but like Ferb's just there.
Yeah, it's Phineas' show. Ferb's along for the ride, and he's perfectly okay with it. He's perfectly okay with being and Ferb.
Yep.
And you're right. He's always thinking exactly what are we gonna do today. He has the answer. He knows.
He already knows.
Yep.
He already knows.
And smooth with the ladies. He gets Doofenshmirtz's daughter. So
Vanessa.
Yeah. Smooth with the ladies. Right. Yeah, I think so. Vanessa Doofenshmirtz. Genius. I mean, helps Phineas with all. I mean, it seems like half the time he's doing the grunt work, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like he's doing the heavy lifting. Yeah. Yeah. Ferb's,
got the plans in his head.
Yeah. His brain is a blueprint. And he's just out there solving problems.
Master builder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great pick. That's a good pick right there.
Thanks.
All right. I can't do these back-to-back, so I gotta do this now. I'm gonna go with Johnny Cochran. John Cochran. Top tier boy. If the glove don't fit, you gotta acquit. This guy had the defense laid out. If you don't know who I'm talking about, the lawyer, or the defense lawyer for...
It took me a second. I was like...
The defense lawyer for O.J. Simpson. He was the man who famously said, if the glove don't fit, you gotta acquit. That line alone, that bar alone that he dropped, probably got OJ off. And that's all you need.
Yeah.
Like, he knew OJ did it. Like, come on. Soak those gloves.
Yeah.
Soak those gloves and whatever he had to soak them in to shrink. Threw them out there. Had the perfect defense. Had it all lined up. Gloves don't fit. You gotta quit. Boy. Good boy right there. When life gets you...
Rob Kardashian.
Right, I was thinking one of the two.
He's actually OJ's boy.
Yeah. He's so let's do a half. Right. We can do both. Can I? Am I allowed to do both?
No.
All right, then I'll take Johnny. I want the glove.
Maybe Johnny is the
pick. It's like when times get down, you need a Johnny Cochran to defend you.
That's true.
When things get a little rough, things get a little hairy, you need a Johnny Cochran there to defend you. If he's going to defend OJ, then he'll defend anyone.
I did not see that one.
Oh, get ready. Get ready for five.
For five, okay. I don't know how I can top that.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. All right, I gotta use him at some point. Big Dom is my third.
Big Dom
is the enforcer of the sideline. Got himself suspended just so. Was it Debo that he shoved out of the way?
Yeah, wait, explain Dom, who maybe there's some people who don't know who Dom is. Big Dom is.
He's, I don't know what his actual title is, but he's
boy.
The guy that's on the Eagles sideline. What?
Boy, that's his title.
Basically, if any of the players start to get in trouble, he steps in. And it's not just on the sideline. Like, he will, like, follow the players around when they go places just in case there's any incidents. Like, Big Dom is there, and he just takes care of it. He's the fixer.
He takes care. He TCBs. Takes care of the business.
He does. He TCBs.
And
that's like, a must-have for a boy. You have to TCB.
Oh, yeah. There's some factors that get into the boy. And you have to take care of business. You're right, Big Dom. Like he got suspended for touching. I think it was either Debo or wasn't it the line? Wasn't Fred Warner?
I forget. It was one of them.
Either way, he got
into
it. Yeah, they were acting up.
Stepped in,
put him in his place. Yeah, he TCB'd, and the league said you took care of business way too hard, Dom. You touched the player.
But that's what a boy does. A boy takes the fall.
Yes, he didn't bitch and moan.
And they're suspended.
Yeah, no, and he didn't bitch and moan. He took his lumps. I think he was back there for the playoffs, right? came back. He was able to be back for the playoffs.
I remember. I know he's at one of the Sixers teams.
Oh, that's legendary. Joel Embiid needs Big Dom in his life.
Yes.
He could use Johnny Cochran, too. Defending his MVP.
Yes, he could. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Big Dom is... If you're running a sports franchise, it's almost necessary that you have a Big Dom in your staff somewhere.
Yeah.
If you have a staff, honestly, you need a Big Dom.
A staff of any kind.
Yeah.
I need someone to solve problems.
Yes. You need someone to solve problems. There's a Don in my building at work. He takes care of business.
The Don?
Yeah. Not the Don. All right. Who do I want to go next? You know what? I'm just going to take it now. You here? You buckled up? You ready to sit? You sitting down?
Go for it.
The Native Americans who supported the names of the Redskins. Those are the boys.
Oh, boy. Oh boy!
Look! Wait! I don't want to go too deep into this. I don't want to get too political.
You're not talking about Naga, right? Like the actual Native Americans.
I'm talking about the actual Native Americans who support. Okay. Who were like, wait, and let me explain, so we don't get canceled and so we don't get put on a watch list. Yeah, that's true. We have a whole pot on boys definitely getting on a watch list. Anyways. When the formerly Washington Redskins, had their name change going on, there was a group of Native Americans who were like, we kind of like it. we mess with it. It represents us. So they're the boys. I'm not trying to put any opinion on how it turned out, but the fact that they spoke their mind and supported something that a lot of people liked, and it seemed to be, you know, I think that they're boys for that. Could have very easily said, we have no opinion on this. But they were like, nah, we like it. So I think they're boys. Thank you.
The only thing I don't like about it is that feels like Dan Snyder propaganda. It's like, no.
That's the other thing about the boys. They were such boys to the name of the Redskins that they ignored Dan Snyder.
That's true, yeah.
Like, it's more of a... Yeah. That shows me commitment to Washington more than a commitment to
that's fair,
to
yeah.
Dan and the name, even if it's
he didn't make it. He didn't name the team.
No, yeah, he didn't name it. He just ran it into the ground. But yeah, those are the boys. That whatever tribe that was. What was it? Do you remember the name of the guy?
I cannot tell you.
I'm gonna look it up.
I know there was the Twitter group Naga. It was like,
that sounds something like I don't want to be a part
Native
of.
Native American.
Yeah, it sounds like something I don't want to be a part of.
And I remember they did like this Zoom call, and they were all white, and everybody was just like, oh, okay, so these guys are. This is not who we thought they were.
Yeah, that sounds like a group I don't want to be associated with. But. I'm not saying we need to change the name back. I'm just saying that their public support makes them boys.
Fair enough. Yeah, I like it. Did you see the shirt that Dan Quinn wore that got him in trouble?
Yeah, it was the W with the arrow on it.
With the feather.
Oh, I'm getting text. I'm getting text saying I should have picked another boy. Said that the explanation was all right, but we definitely should have picked another boy. Me. I'll take the blame on that
Who
one.
Who texted you that?
Kat, my girlfriend. Oh, man. Well, thanks, Kat. It's too late now. The words have already been said.
How am I going to write that?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't write that on Instagram.
A lot of space. Well, it's your pick.
Wait a second. All right, wait.
I meant logistically.
No. I have an idea.
That's a lot of worry. You gonna find a name?
Yep. Because they had to have
it. All right, that gives me some time.
Yeah. You could go ahead. Oh, God. Please don't tell me this is... Oh no. The first article I found was on Naga. No.
No, yeah, it's not them. There were
people. This was like 2016. Like, this was like a long time ago.
There was a guy
ago.
That sat in Dan Snyder's box.
Yeah, with the chieftain outfit,
definitely
right?
Just a political move.
But... Yeah, no, it was 1,000% move.
What do I want to do here? All right, I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go with Doug from Up.
That's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, that's a good boy.
Not a magical dog. I decided to steer away from the magical dogs. Well, I guess he can talk.
Yeah, science though.
So, yeah.
Technology dog.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, it's magic. I mean, talk about a ride or die boy. Like, Doug was outcast by the rest of the dogs. Latches on to Russell and Carl and never leaves them, would do anything for them. Loves squirrels. And he's a good boy. Like, you can say that about this one. Like, he's a good boy. Because he actually is. He's a dog. I had to get one dog on there. And I think he's one of the most loyal dogs that I've ever come across.
I like that pick. Sorry, I'm trying to find this tribe name. I like it a lot. Great. The Potawatomi tribe? Does that sound about Potawatomi?
Not sure. All right.
Let's just go. We'll figure it out. Did I mess myself up? Am I going to be on some watch list the rest of my life? All right. Anyways. Let's, Doug, I like that pick a lot. We need some more dogs on this list. I think that's a good way to round it out. That's your fourth, right? Not fifth? Because I went first?
It's my fourth. I have one more. It's not a dog.
But yeah, I think a dog... Dogs? Yeah, dogs were like the easiest ones to find, I feel like, for this list. So, surprised that one each. I think one needed to be on the list, though. A piece. So I think that's a good way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
I have a couple that'll show up in honorable mentions, but
my last one, I'm going to go. I'm gonna go with Wally.
Wally,
the robot,
like from the movie Wally.
Yeah. Not a good pick? You didn't like it?
Well, let's hear it.
All right. Wally, you know, he's there to clean the earth for all the fat people. That's what he's made to do. All of his buddies die. You know what he does? He keeps chugging along. He's trying to save humanity. He's trying to save the earth. We talked about how important the earth was last episode.
That's true. We did talk about that.
Then he gets the opportunity. Maybe because he's a little in love with this robot, but he gets the opportunity to go Eve. Eve. He gets the opportunity to help her out with a plan that can again save the Earth. So he sacrifices everything, doesn't know this girl, leaves home, brings his little pet cockroach with him.
Wait, but if it's all for a girl, does that make him a boy?
I think it's for Earth.
Okay, so he's Earth's boy.
He's Earth's boy. Not a good pick here. All right.
I don't know. I also haven't seen the movie in a long time because I didn't like it when I was a kid.
Oh, you didn't like Wally? The hell?
No.
Why didn't you like Wally?
What age did you like Wally?
So when it came out?
Really?
Yeah, I loved Wally.
Maybe you were just like, I don't know, maybe you were more mature and higher intellectual level than I was, because I didn't like it at all.
Man, you gotta rewatch Wally.
I haven't seen it since. I'm sure I would like it if I watched it again.
You gotta rewatch Wally.
Am I the first person to tell you that?
They don't like Wally? Yeah, no, I think so. Like, really? I don't know. I don't have a lot of Wally conversations, but
Yeah, it's because no one loved
him. You're wrong for that.
Yeah, I don't hate the pick. There's just a lot left.
You're right. You're right. It might have been a reach here. But I like it. I'm gonna stick by it. He's the Earth boy. He was there to save humanity, and he ended up helping him do so. He got the fat people off their chairs.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I'll rewatch the movie and I'll get back to you.
All right. Homework.
All right, my fifth pick, who is maybe doing the opposite thing that Wally was, is Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, the
vice president for President Bush.
Dick Cheney,
your Bush boy. Was like, all right, you wanna win a war on terrorism? Like, all right, good to work, Dick Cheney. And Dick Cheney went to work. He might have gone overboard a little bit.
Yeah, you can't say that.
He did not deliver on what George wanted him to do. And guess who took all the blame for it?
Yeah, but
Dick Cheney did.
Oh, I don't know, Chris. We're definitely getting flagged on this pod. Oh my god.
Tell me that Dick Cheney's not a boy.
I don't think he is.
He handled all the bad stuff that Bush wanted to do, or that Bush wanted to get done. Now everyone hates Dick Cheney. Like, I'm sure people don't love Bush either, but like, that's the guy that people are like,
took the fall. That was all Dick Cheney's fault. You're just saying because he took the fall, he's the boy? I don't know. How many people did he get killed? I don't know if he could be a boy and have that many people get murdered.
I mean, you had Johnny Cochran, he's the victim murderer.
Yeah, but at least like because that was his boy. That's the whole point.
He's Bush's boy.
Yeah, but then he's sending literal boys. He's sending 18-year-olds out to the Middle East, Chris. Oh my god, I don't know. I don't know enough about Dick Cheney. No, I don't know enough. I don't know the truth about Dick Cheney. Let's put it there.
Truth was, he wasn't a great guy. He was a boy.
You can be a bad guy.
People? Oh, of course.
All right. So from the boy sense, sure, I guess, yeah.
Well, you don't have to be a great guy to be a boy. You just have to be fiercely loyal.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Good defense. I don't know if anyone goes around and is like, man, that Dick Cheney was really the boy for George Bush. Like, you know what no one talks about? How Dick Cheney was the boy for George W. Bush.
That's what makes him such a boy.
He hides in the shadows, collects his money from the war of terrorism. I don't know. I think we just have to move on to honorable suggestions on this point.
Did we overthink this one?
I mean, I had the Native Americans.
I had Charles Oakley right there.
Who supported the Redskins. Dude, I had...
That was a wild pick.
This was Dick Cheney. I think Dick Cheney's
for that was one that wasn't even on my list. I just came up with it like halfway
through. No, like, and you were like...
Johnny Cochran. I was like, yes.
This is going to be an insane list going up on Instagram. Honorable mentions. Yoshi's a good honorable mention. He's Mario. Yeah, he's Mario's boy. He'll jump off.
Easier toad.
Yeah, because Yoshi, when you ride Yoshi in the game, once you don't need Yoshi anymore, send him off into a cliff. So Yoshi's willing to die for Mario here. That's what I'm willing to say. And
that's fair.
Been protecting his ass since birth. You play the Yoshi's Island where he's a baby. Since birth, he's been protecting him. So
fair enough.
Grogu, the boy.
We gotta run through these quick.
Han Solo, boy. He's one of the categories of a
Chewbacca.
Reluctant boy is Han Solo to Luke Skywalker. Chewbacca is a good boy to Han Solo.
I think Chewbacca is a better boy.
I think he's a better boy. Yeah, that's a good pick. Tow Mater, Alfred.
Oh, that was another one that I thought of like halfway through.
Alfred?
I would have been better than Dick Cheney. No, Tomater.
Oh, Tomater, yeah.
Alfred, yes. I had Alfred.
Sokka from Avatar The Last Airbender. Yoda. Yeah. Yoda's a boy. Scooby-Doo. Groot or Rocket.
Yeah.
Donkey from Shrek. Daryl Dixon from Walking Dead.
Oh, Donkey from Shrek is a great band.
Bender from Futurama. Robin, the Boy Wonder. Captain Rex from Star Wars. And then, last but not least, pretty much any character Chris Pratt plays ends up being a boy.
Yep. That's true, yeah. All right, I had Cal from Talladega Nights. He lets Ricky Bobby do the slingshot.
Yeah. He's, Air Bud, he always lets him. Can I finish first once?
Well, then he steals his wife, but then... Air Bud, Underdog.
Air Bud.
Those are my two dogs.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I had James Jones, the guy that LeBron always wanted to have on his team.
Yep.
Best teammate ever, apparently. Short Round
from Indiana Jones. Short Round was my actual
boy.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Probably should have put him on there. Ernie Adams, Bill Belichick's little henchman.
Great pick.
I was worried people wouldn't know who he was. Tom Hagen from The Godfather, the lawyer of the Corleone family. Connor Stallions, the guy who stole all the signs for Michigan.
Yeah.
And then Charles Oakley, who was Michael Jordan's enforcer, and then did it again on the Knicks.
Love it.
Also, Bruce Allen was a boy. He was Dan Snyder's boy.
I'm going to throw Ernie Johnson from TNT.
Ernie Johnson, yeah.
Yeah. He's got to be a boy.
Yeah.
Rich
Eisen could be a boy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, Matthew Barry. He's the boy.
Matthew Barry, yeah.
Yeah. Those are some good ones. Probably a lot better than some of our picks. But
no, these are I don't know about you, but I overthought it. Like when we started listening, I way overthought this.
Yeah, I
had perfectly good picks on my list.
I just didn't want to get too simple with it. I wanted to get a little creative.
I know, I didn't either.
And I thought picking whatever this tribe was a little backfired a little bit. Yeah, all right. I got the name of the tribe. Let's go.
What is it?
Well, now I don't want to mispronounce it.
Is there a pronunciation thing? Great. It's on Wikipedia, it should tell you.
Great point. Here we go.
Never mind. You know.
Yeah. All right. The Piscati? Piscati?
Piscataway?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Should.
Yeah.
The city in New Jersey.
The Piscataway people. Yeah. Tribal leaders. All right. So,
oh yeah, here we go. Yeah, I don't know if. I think this is the opposite, actually.
Word.
Look up the word Redskins. It's a racial slur for North American Indians, said Billy Red Wing Tyok, chief of the Piscataway Indian Nation.
Oh, all right. I'm still looking then.
Keep digging.
This is bad. but, I mean, in my defense, you know what? I don't even need to take a defense. Let's just keep going. I don't need a defense. Let's just end the pod. Thank you all for listening. This was
top. It's not the Piscataway tribe.
This was top five boys. the last episode of the Wise Guys. but
I always wondered what would tear us apart.
In all reality, it was Dick Cheney and the Native Americans.
Hey, Johnny Cochran one was pretty wild too. I was not ready for that. That's when I thought of Dick Cheney. I was like, I need to be honored.
All right, well, thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. We're going to have two YouTube videos up this week, one on this top five, maybe not, but the one on this top five, and then one on last week's top five. Thank you all for listening. See everyone next week. Go Celtics.